This lesson is technically part of the next lesson, The Duty of the Man, but it's really kind of a separate lesson in itself. It deals with the three kinds of men. You've probably heard the story of the bride who was extremely nervous on her wedding day. She told the preacher, she said, "Look, I just don't think I can make it all the way down that aisle without shaking and crying, and I just don't think I can make it." Well, the preacher, he was a seasoned veteran at weddings, so he gave her a bit of advice. He said, "Look, when you begin to walk down the aisle, you need to remember this three-point formula. First of all, look straight down the aisle. Second, when you get about halfway, look straight up at the marriage altar. And third, when you get near the front of the church, look straight at your groom. First the aisle, then the altar, then him. I think that'll help relieve your nervousness." Well, she agreed to try this advice, and it seemed to work beautifully. She walked down the aisle with a radiant glow on her face. She had confidence in every step, no sign of nervousness. However, there was only one small problem. The congregation could hear her repeating these three words as she walked. "I'll alter him. I'll alter him. I'll alter him." That's a humorous story, but it illustrates a great truth. A lot of times in marriages, a wife will try to change her husband into somebody he's not. I'll give you a more serious scenario, and this happens sometimes. You'll have a young man and woman that get married, and neither one of them go to church. They're not living for the Lord. They're not doing things right. They're living out in the world. Well, here's a situation where the young wife, she gets pregnant, and they have a child, and she may have been saved earlier as a young child, and she wants to now take her baby to church and raise her children according to God. And she starts going to church, and she may even rededicate her life to the Lord. And she begins to go to church and get things right with God, and she starts trying to get her husband to go to church. And instead of taking the biblical example in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 and handling it right, she tries to turn him and change him into somebody he's not. I mean, he didn't marry her when she was living right. He married somebody that liked to drink with him just as much as he did. He married someone that liked to live in the world just as much as he did. And now she's changed, and she's trying to expect him to be somebody he's not. And a lot of times, a divorce is caused because the wife is not accepting her husband for who he was when she married him. The Bible gives details in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about a situation where a spouse gets saved and the other one's not saved. It says, you know, there's no need to depart or to leave them. Don't cause a divorce over it. And a lot of times that happens. Now, what we're going to learn in this lesson is that God has given basically three type personalities, if you want to call it that, of men. Men are not all the same. They have different personalities. The husband that you have now may not be the man you envisioned him to become when you married him. It may not be the person you dreamed about. Somebody said God gives imperfect women to imperfect men so they can be heirs together of the grace of life and become something more together than either of them would ever have been alone. That's a very good statement. And neither one of us are perfect in a marriage relationship. If a wife fights the inadequacies or tries to change who her husband is, she will lose the battle and rebel against God's word, as we'll see in Titus and some other places. In Timothy, it talks about the wife and her attitude can blaspheme the word of God if she's not submissive to her husband. Now, what I want to give you here is the three main types of men. The reason we go to three is because in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus Christ is baptized, and when he's baptized, we see God the Father, we see God the Son, and we see God the Holy Spirit. And we know from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that God makes man in his image. He says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Verse 27, "So God created man in his image." So we have a body, soul, and spirit. We understand that. There's a Trinity nature of man. He has a body, a soul, and a spirit. But also, the types of God will be manifest in man because he's made after God. So we're going to see attributes of the Father, attributes of the Holy Spirit, and attributes of the Son. We call these three different things. We call in types of men, or the three kinds of men, we call them, number one, Mr. Command Man. That will be a type of God the Father. Number two, Mr. Visionary, that will be a type of the Holy Spirit. Number three, Mr. Steady, that will be a type of Jesus Christ. Mr. Commandman, he's a type of God the Father. He's sovereign. God the Father, the Bible says, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 115:3. When you study the attributes of God the Father, you find out that he is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's encompassing sovereignty. In other words, he rules over everything. And God the Father even had dominion over the Son when Jesus Christ was on the earth. Jesus was subservient to the Father. He said, my Father is greater than I, in the book of John. So he was subservient, even though he is God. Jesus Christ was subservient in the role as a servant, Philippians chapter 2, coming down here to live a life that we couldn't live, and to be subservient to the Father's will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done, in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the first kind of man that we have is Mr. Command Man. And Mr. Command Man's a type of God the Father. His attributes, these are just a few things that would follow him. They're natural-born leaders. Command men are natural-born leaders. You'll see them as young kids. They'll naturally tell the other kids what to do. They'll take charge unashamedly. They have no trouble taking charge. They're born leaders. The second thing about them is they do more than is required of them. They step up to the plate and go the extra mile. They're normally strong, forceful, and bossy. That's the type of a command man, strong, forceful, and bossy. His nature is to control and to run things. He likes to be in control of things. He likes to run things. He likes to tell other people what to do instead of taking orders. The next one, he seems to be sufficient unto himself. You look at him, you think, well, he doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need a wife. He doesn't need children. He doesn't need anyone but himself. He's so self-assured. He seems to be sufficient. Well, he's really not. And then the last one is, he will not enjoy small talk. He's not in it for just the frills and the fun things. He's in it for the accomplishing the goal, and the big picture is always in mind. He's not in it for the small talk. That's some attributes. Now, how is a wife to deal with her man if he is a command man? As I said before, your husband, or if you're a man, you may have some of these attributes of Mr. Visionary, Mr. Steady, or Mr. Command Man, but one of them will be more dominant than the others. If you're a command man, and if your husband is a command man, how are you to deal with him? Remember when we studied the plan and purpose of marriage, we found out that the woman was created for the man, not the other way around. You might want to look at this passage. We've already looked at it in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Then I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, look down in verse number 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. In other words, Eve was made from Adam. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So it's not a man's job to try to change who he is to fit his wife. It's the woman's job to change who she is to fit her husband. Now you see this in society. It's no marvel that this is true. You'll notice in society, no matter if it's a successful businessman, no matter if it's someone that's in athletics, a great sports hero, no matter if it's a man that's a biker and he lives a rough lifestyle, you will find a woman supporting him, following him, being by his side, conforming to what he is. You see this in every aspect of life. Now, the job for the helpmeet is to find out what kind of man he is according to the scriptures, and these three kinds of men learning this can help you so you can best compliment him. So if you have a command man for a husband, the first thing you need to do is to learn that you're going to have to earn your place in his heart. You're going to have to earn your place in his heart. It may seem that he doesn't need you, but you're going to have to realize that it's going to take time for you to earn that special place. He is going to be king. And he's going to run things, but he wants you as his queen sitting beside him in triumph one day. The second thing you need to learn is similar to that. You need to learn to take second seat. You need to learn to take second seat so he can be exalted. He's going to have to be primary. He's going to have to be dominant. And when you go against him and you contradict him, that is not the way to earn place in his heart. You're going to have to be second seat for him to admire you. If you resist his control, number three, he will keep on going without you. A lot of divorces happen because Mr. Command Man is not going to change. Typically, you find these military-minded or law enforcement-type-minded individuals or business executive-minded individuals that they're going to keep going. And if you don't learn to take second seat and compliment him instead of try to be a command woman beside him, things aren't going to make it, and you're going to cause detriment. So that's a way to be a helpmeet to him. Okay, and let's look at Mr. Visionary. Before we do that, the vision for Mr. Command Man, he's like a man looking from a high mountain. He sees the distant goal. He has the goal in mind, and he's going to achieve those goals. That's his vision. All right, number two, Mr. Visionary. As we said, he's a type of the Holy Spirit. His attributes, first of all, he gets involved and upset about issues, about changing things. He's Mr. Visionary. You see, he sees a vision. He can't stand it like it is. He gets involved and upset about issues. He can sit and talk for hours about some philosophical idea or some ideology or religion, and he gets involved and upset about maybe politics or some things like that. Instead of just sitting around and talking about, how to fix a Chevy engine or how to put fertilizer on a garden or something like that, he's going to talk about issues and abstract ideas. And he gets involved. He gets upset. His blood pressure runs high when he sees these statements on the news. He's a Mr. Visionary. He wants to change things. Now, whether he changes anything or not, it's immaterial, but he wants to. The second thing about him, he's goal-oriented, whether he changes anything or not. He has these goals. He has these plans. It may be all scattered in his brain, but he has these visions for these things. Often, number three, these Mr. Visionaries are often great inventors. They're often gifted or talented men. Some of them may be musically inclined or artistic, or they can design things, or they can invent things or fix things. They can take a piece of scrap metal and they can make it into anything. They're visionaries. Number four, they hate the status quo. They're enthusiastic about their plans and dreams. They hate things as they are now. They see things as they will be. You take somebody like Walt Disney, he was a Mr. Visionary. Somebody made the statement after Disney World was completed, they said, "Isn't it a shame that Walt Disney was not here to see this?" And someone remarked, he did see this, that's why this is here. You see, he saw it before it was there. He was a Mr. Visionary. Number five, Mr. Visionary is consumed with a need to communicate his words, his music, his writing, his voice, his art, or his actions. He is consumed with a need of getting it out. In other words, he wants to talk about it. He wants to let others know about his vision. John Wesley was a visionary. He implemented and planned for the future. Now, how is a helpmeet, how is a wife to be a blessing to her visionary husband? There's some things that she needs to understand. First of all, she needs to be a prudent, stable person who has a positive outlook on life. Being married to a visionary person is going to be a really rough time sometimes, because he'll take risks and chances that will kind of make you scared about your security, and that assurance that we talked about a wife needs, sometimes that'll be shaken and rocked. Number two, a wife of a visionary needs to be a little bit reckless. She needs to be blind in one eye if she's going to enjoy the ride. In other words, her attitude needs to be, God has made my husband this way to see these things, to be involved about these things. I need to enjoy it. I need to be a blessing to him and how he is. Number three, she needs to learn to be flexible and learn to always be loyal. Number four, she doesn't need to remind him of his failures, where his ideas are wrong. Or he might just wind up sharing them with somebody else. He's going to share and communicate his ideas. He needs someone right beside him to help him, to communicate with him, to be excited about what he's excited about. She can expect him, number five, she can expect him to change jobs, to relocate, to take chances, to buy something with hopes of fixing it up. A Mr. Visionary will come home and say, "I quit my job today." And the wife's like, "What? Or he'll come home and say, I just bought a business. I just invested. I just signed the papers at the bank. We just bought a business for such and such. And he's reckless that way, but he sees a vision. The next one is that she needs to view life with him as an adventure. Her attitude needs to be that, boy, life is different with him. He's got these ideas, and he's good at these things, and she needs to see that as an adventure. And looking at the ones that are married to the command man and Mr. Steadies, that they just kind of have a dull life, because the Mr. Visionary has an exciting life. He's always changing, and she needs to rejoice in that instead of begrudge it, because that's who he is, and she's not going to change that. If he ever does reinvent the light bulb, you'll be the one to turn it on for the very first time, because you'll be right beside him, see? And you'll be his greatest fan. And eventually he's going to rely on you for objective common sense. He'll get to the place to where he will trust you. You'll be the one he communicates his ideas to, and you'll be his confidant. His vision is like looking through a microscope, and he's stunned at what he sees. Others don't seem to care about it, but he cares, and he's ready to change it. If he never changes it, he's still going to talk about it because he wants to change it. That's Mr. Visionary. We need Mr. Visionaries. You'll see that we need all three types of these men. We need the command men that are strong, that are ready to lead. A leader can take criticism. A leader, people are going to hate him, and they're going to come against him sometimes, but they'll still follow him because they know he's a leader. And even though they don't like what he's doing, they're going to get behind him and follow him. And a Mr. Command Man can take that criticism, and he just takes it and doesn't care. But we also need the Mr. Visionaries, the ones to invent the light bulbs, the ones to come up with these ideas to implement change. And then that brings us to the next man, Mr. Steady. These are probably, there are probably more Mr. Steadies out there than anyone else. The Mr. Visionaries, they get a lot of attention. Mr. Command Men, they get a lot of attention. But the Mr. Steady just kind of goes unnoticed. We say that he's a type of Christ because he's well-rounded. He has some command in him, and he has some visionary in him. But he's Mr. Steady. He's going to complete. He's going to finish the course. He will always be there and be dependable. His attributes are he's in the middle of command and visionary. In other words, he's not given to extremes. He's not going to make a snap decision, number two. He's not going to spend his last dime on a new idea. He's not going to make a snap decision without thinking about it. He's in between command and visionary. He's not going to, he's going to think about something. He's going to think about it, and he's going to contemplate it. He's going to weigh his options. He's not going to act hasty on anything. And he's just going to be there. He's going to be constant. He's the kind of guy that wants to get a job, and he wants to keep it for about 30 years and retire. And then he's already, when he retires, he's going to do the same thing when he gets up every morning, afternoon. He's Mr. Steady. He's consistent. He probably takes the same thing to lunch every day. He brushes his teeth at the same exact time every morning. He's Mr. Steady. Everything is consistent and steady. That's how he likes it. He doesn't like change. He doesn't want new people moving in his neighborhood. He doesn't want his town to change. He doesn't want the country to change. He doesn't want his church to change. He's just Mr. Steady. You can put that anywhere under your notes if you're taking notes. He's the guy that works in the factory of the man who invented the light bulb. And he works for Mr. Command. Mr. Command's the one who tells the people what to do. Mr. Visionary invented the light bulb, but Mr. Steady's the guy who produces. He's more liked by anyone because he gets along with everybody. He doesn't have to tell them what to do, nor does he get upset about what they dream and their plans and their visions, because he really doesn't have a vision himself. He just takes life and sees life as it is. That's his vision, by the way. He sees life as it is, he accepts it, and he just plods along and does what he's supposed to do. He's not meant to lead, but to support. A steady man that gets into a commands man job oftentimes will be unsuccessful. Now, how's the helpmeet, how's the wife to be a blessing to Mr. Steady? Well, there's a danger that she needs to note, first of all. She's going to be tempted to try to tell him what to do and try to run him and try to take charge, because he's so slow in making decisions and he doesn't act and he doesn't step out there and take the lead, she's going to be commanded to be over bossy and to tell him what to do. So that's a temptation. She's got to be careful. She needs to notice, number two, that his gentleness is not a weakness, it is his strength. And that his hesitation, number three, is not indecision, but his hesitation is cautious wisdom. She needs to see her Mr. Steady Man as a wise man that is not preemptive to make wrong, hasty decisions. Now, in summary, these three kinds of men, maybe you've identified that my husband's a Mr. Command Man, or my wife's husband's a Mr. Visionary or Mr. Steady, or maybe you're a man and you've identified yourself, or maybe you find all three of these in you and you don't know exactly. Normally one of them have a dominating trait. You're more like one than the others. But in summary, the command man is going to tell his wife what to do. Just plain and simple. Mr. Visionary wants his wife to do what he's doing, and a steady man wants his wife to walk beside him, yet to grow in her own right before God. And that's just the summary of those three types. People envy the command man. People are drawn and compelled by the Mr. Visionary. But the steady man's taken for granted. A wife can ruin her marriage and her husband if he's a command man by failing to honor him, failing to obey and reverence him, to failing to submit to his authority and his rule. A wife can ruin or destroy her marriage if she's married to a visionary man by failing to follow and believe and participate as an enthusiast in her husband's dreams and vision. And then finally, a wife can ruin or destroy her marriage if her husband's a Mr. Steady, if she fails to appreciate him, if she fails to be patient and to be thankful for her husband's pleasant qualities.